Chicago, what's up, Chicago? What's up, everybody? It is Wisdom Wednesday, March 15th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show by you all. We have an outstanding show for you all today. Today's topic is going to be good, man. What to do when you make a ministry mistake? Yeah, what to do when you make a ministry mistake? This is going to be good. So let me give y'all real quick, man. This is good. I'm excited. In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel King, alongside my brother in ministry, the one, the only, from the First Bethel Church, back from that nice little trip to Arkansas, right?
Out on the ark and saw.
Okay, here we
the
go.
The only state in the Bible.
Arkansas. The one and the only pastor of Cornelius Parks from First Bethel Church. What's going on, sir?
Man, you got it, man.
You look a little tired, though. Road trip, huh? We're going to talk about it. As always, let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening already, you've already called in, you've already dialed in. We appreciate you. You've already dialed in. Simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, if you're listening via social media, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can follow us there. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find your volume don't work.
I'm like,
he having a hard time. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. If you want to tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Follow us on Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. If you want to email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to watch the live streams are up and running, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Please, Ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You can find us there. And last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Subscribe to our podcast. Go to iTunes. Go to your podcast section of iTunes. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Now, I'm over here tearing up stuff. The podcast can be found, Taking the Limits Off, under the iTunes section, under the podcast section of your iTunes account, and you can find us there. What's going on, man?
I'm so tired. Man, I was going to call in.
Really?
Man, I'm wore out, man.
You was going to call in? It was that bad, huh?
Man, I'm wore out.
It's a road trip, man.
Yeah, it was a road trip.
Now, did you drive or you?
Yeah, man.
So y'all just had a bunch of cars going?
No, just one car, one minivan. And
oh, Lord.
Just we didn't get no sleep, man.
Probably because y'all was acting a fool the whole time.
Honestly, man.
Hey, who fought is that?
I wasn't the ringleader this time.
Okay.
I promise you I wasn't.
Okay.
And we got this thing, man, and we got an insider, man.
Uh-oh.
You remember the episode off Police Academy?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, it don't mean that.
Uh-huh.
But, man, that Pastor Matlock, man. He played that music just out of the blue, man. Don't know where it came from.
Okay.
Don't know why he did it. But we had a good time, man. We had a good time, man. What's going on with you?
Now,
I was bowling, man. I don't even talk about the trip.
Real quick, I want to ask one question about the trip. So it was for somebody's funeral, right?
Funeral,
okay,
yeah.
So who passed away?
Yeah. So we had two situations going on.
Okay.
One of my ex, he wasn't a member.
Okay.
He got killed here, and then they transferred him back down there.
Okay.
And then Matlock had a niece. So it was not too far from each other. So we was able to kill two birds with one stone, if that's what you want to call it.
Okay.
okay.
Yeah. So it was good.
Okay. Bowling, man. Look here. So, you know, I thought we was out of this thing, right?
Uh-oh. I knew. Watch out.
Now. I thought we was out of this thing because I couldn't remember. I hadn't looked at the score sheet in the last couple of weeks. I thought we was out of this thing, man. And so we literally like 7 points, give or take, out of the second spot. To get to second in our division. 1 and 2 go to the playoffs.
Oh.
We can't get the wild card because we don't have enough points.
Okay.
Because
okay.
The wild card is based off of points. So we way behind in that. But we can catch the second team in our division.
Y'all just have
but we got to win out.
If you win out.
If we win out and they lose at least one somewhere in there, we can end up in second place. But here's the dilemma.
Uh-oh.
Your boy.
Missing.
Yeah, me.
Oh, my God.
So, buddy of mine, high school friend of mine, contacted me a few months back, and said, hey, my cousin is getting remarried. She's doing they're having what do they call it? When you're already married, but you get
renewed.
The renewal. They're doing a renewal. And she's looking for a minister to do it. And, man, I would love for you to come and do it. Would you talk to her?
What time?
5:00.
Where is it at?
On the west side.
What time bowling start?
2:00. Not going to happen.
Listen.
So, listen.
You can do one or two things.
I'm listening. Give me some advice, Pastor.
You call them to confirm
that
it's starting on time. Or ask them, is it possible to push it back 1 hour?
That ain't going to work. Because here's the bad part. When I talk to her, they want me there at 3:00.
For what?
That's what I said.
For what?
That's what I said. That's what I said.
Man.
So I already talked to my team. I said, now, because we're able to bring in subs.
Okay.
And I said, y'all need to find a sub because here's the problem. If I'm not there, they use my average, minus 10 pins. So right now, my average is 187.
Okay.
So that means the highest score that they can get under my name is 177. Nothing else.
Okay.
Which is not good enough.
Exactly.
Right. Because see, if I bowl my average and then get 35 pins, that's 200, 300, that's 200
right.
points. So
is that with a sub?
No. So the sub, we use their average and their pins.
So, but the sub has to be
at least as good as, right.
But he has to be in the league.
Yeah, he needs to be in the league. Yeah, he needs to be a sanctioned U. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm a little, you know.
In that particular league or any league?
In that league.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, has to be in that league. So, yeah, I'm a little upset about that.
Wow.
But you know what? That's what happens. Stuff happens. But we got a shot. So, you know.
Tell everybody else put on an A game.
Man, I just need them to show up.
Show up.
I just need them to show up, man. We because I'll tell you right now, don't let us in the playoffs.
It's over.
No. Because see, anything can happen. You know. It's just let me in.
That's right. Because
if I can get in there, I'm going to talk a little something.
There you go.
So,
there you go.
So anyway, yeah, man. But it was cool though. I mean, it was fun. We won. We did win on Saturday. We did win, which was good. We won 2 out of 3. We should have won 3, but we won 2 out of 3.
So if you would have won 3 with that,
that would have put us even closer.
Oh wow!
Because the teams ahead of us all lost. See what I'm saying? And it's only a 6 or 7 point difference.
We talked about that.
Yeah, but I thought we was done after we got swept last week. I was ready to throw my ball out the window.
It was impossible.
I thought it was.
Oh.
But without faith. Come on now.
Oh, you want to shoot me in my pinky toe.
Oh, God. Yeah. So we got a shot. So y'all, you know, man. So I'm going to have to bowl my butt off this week. And hopefully we get a little closer. And, you know, I'm going to just let it play out. And because the playoffs start in 3 weeks. So hopefully we get it together, man. I'm just a little interested. I'm just a little hurt by the fact I got to do that. So you playing with a new toy over there, man? You bought you a new toy?
Man, I got a pad.
An iPad.
Yeah.
You just got a pad? He tied for real. You got, what you
hey,
got?
Bro, I got I got the pad.
I got a lily pad.
Yeah. And so, man, listen, Chip, man, but Charisma always time face me all the time with it. What's wrong, man?
See, I'm trying to fix my microphone, but you keep saying stuff. She do what?
She time face me.
See, he know what he doing. See, he says stuff to get a reaction out of me, and
no,
then
no,
I
no.
get accused no. on live
hold on.
For being
no,
the mean
me,
dude
me
in the
this.
Studio.
No, let me say this. What word did I didn't pronounce right?
It's FaceTime. It ain't time face.
Well, that's the same thing.
That's
the same thing.
No, you will not. And I don't even like Apple products.
Me either, man.
But you talking about, at least say the name right.
Well, it slipped.
It didn't, no, it didn't, because you, you said
hey, I thought
like,
I said something wrong. Like,
you did. Time face.
Okay.
On your pad.
Okay. FaceTime.
Thank you. See, I'm not the only one. Anyway, she got, so you got this pad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got the, yeah, so man, she hit me, man. Hello? Come on, Chip. I don't like this. Man, that ain't my thing. I got it. I have it for my sermons, man. Now they got a deal that's Sprint. Mm-hmm. Unlimited data plan. So wherever you at, you can go on the internet and stuff. $25. So, hey, I think that's a good deal. And I could be in the middle of reading that music. Lord, everybody know me. I'm still a BlackBerry man. I have not let go of BlackBerry. I just really adapted to this Android world. I'm a true Black. I'm not a techie man. I'm gonna be honest.
Okay.
I'm not a techie man. Only thing I do on my phone, text. I take a couple of selfies. Mm-hmm. Facebook at times. They didn't get me on the Instagram.
Yes.
But I don't do that on the regular. And play NBA Live. Everything, man, I don't go through all these apps and none of that, man. I'm serious. I'm just not that type of guy. And this is not the front. I'm not letting BlackBerry go. You leave me alone. I'm not letting that. Man, listen. You can love Apple products. I love oranges. I love pears, peaches, and bananas. I can't, man. I'm not an Apple man, and so it took everything in my power to get this, man. Mm-hmm. It really did, and you know, all the touching, man. I'm not, no. Give me a keyboard and let's work it out, then, man. That's why I miss BlackBerry. BlackBerry had the keyboard, keypad, man. I used to hit that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Man. Please. We'll be right back.
everywhere. Everybody should be able to hear us. Everybody should be able to hear us. We should be good to go. I would think we should be good to go. Tanya, let me know. Let me know. Let me know. Okay. So anyway, you were saying about inviting people to the church.
Yeah.
Okay. So here was the situation. Oh, my bad. How did it like end up over there? It's supposed to be right here, but go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we good. So Sunday, we had a guest minister, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers to you.
Yeah, Sunday, we had a guest minister, too. Yeah.
Shipper.
He was a little frazzled, and, yeah, he tried to come out of John 15, and then he used part of Genesis, and then he went through like seven other books.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all had a Bible scholar.
Still waiting on the, no. No. Nothing scholarly was about this thing. Still waiting on the subject of what he was preaching about.
Wow.
He did give good application though about not being not taking this journey alone. He did give good application on how not to. Yeah, good application at the end. So. Yeah, it was, you know. But other than that, yeah.
Next.
So, man, look, question for you. You got Netflix? Why you act like you don't know what Netflix is?
I'm trying to make sure. Yeah, I got it. I got it on my phone, I think.
That means you got it on your TV at home then. Or you got a Blu-ray, you got do Blu-ray DVD play at home? Okay, wait, I forgot who I was talking to. Who do I need to ask? Because I'm asking the wrong person questions about what's going on at your house. Who do I need to ask? Because you don't have no answers for nothing.
Hey, listen, man, I got cable, man.
But
I got cable, seriously. But honestly, I was going to say the dumbest thing in the mess when you said Blu-ray. Like, who was that? Like, hey, yo.
Okay, do you have, oh God. Why do I put myself through this?
Wait, honestly, come on. I'm about to have a crap. Honest to God, I was going to ask you who was Blue and who was Ray. Like, I just mixed them up. Like, are they twins or somebody? Like, Blu-ray, is that a shark or something?
I'm so done with this dude. I don't even know what.
Hey.
You know what to say.
Hey, I think some questions he asked me on purpose.
No, I don't. I was trying to get.
Hey, I
asked you questions to move the show along, to lead to another conversation. But you just be over there just blank.
Hey, you see the episode of Martin
right.
and Cole. The number you have reached. Hey, certain conversations, I ain't gonna lie to you. Hey, can I be real with y'all?
I'm just trying. Oh,
this is
God.
Not no joke. It's no
okay.
game.
Right,
I'm illiterate
on.
When it comes down to something. I'm not techie at all. Like,
okay.
I promise you I'm not. And it's almost embarrassing.
Okay.
Because two things that I'm not good at.
Okay.
I'm not good at mechanic stuff, putting stuff together. I can take it apart, but I can't put it together. And then I'm not good with technology. I'm serious. Like, I'm not techie.
Okay.
And Michelle, I know you're cracking on me, but you know, I do need to come into I am in 2017. I'm alive.
Tanya said that's called broken. I'm sorry. Jar Jar Binks said that's called broken.
Broken. I'm broken. I may be. I ain't gonna lie. Like, man.
Okay. Back to my original question.
But no, get to the point.
I'm trying to. No,
okay.
Because, okay.
Go ahead.
How do you watch Netflix? On your phone? Or are you able to watch it on the TV?
He asked you more questions.
This is a simple question.
I watch it. No, I got a tablet.
Okay.
A
Kindle.
A Kindle.
So you watch Netflix on the Kindle?
Yeah, when I...
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All
right, see, now...
I only watch two things ever off Netflix. Only. Prison Break.
Okay.
And, man, it was a good thing. They took it off. It's not back on yet.
Okay.
With the black man, like a superhero.
Luke Cage.
There you go.
Okay. See?
There you go.
Now, stay with me.
Hey.
Stay with me.
Hey, see this? Like, okay, we're getting somewhere.
Okay. Well, okay, two things. All right, on Netflix, let me get to that part first.
Okay.
On Netflix, there's this movie you need to watch.
What's the name?
Called Burning Sands.
No, man, I'm going to watch that tonight.
I watched it.
Hey, let me say this. Disclaimer. Man, I feel sorry for y'all. From what I heard,
you know,
From what I heard, man, and wow, and I,
so let me tell you how I ended up watching. I ended up watching it because Pastor Stores,
he put it out there,
put it on Facebook yesterday, and I'm like, I saw it because it popped up in my things that I might be interested in, but I just didn't pay any attention. But then I started reading the comments, and he was talking about how a lot of it was true. He was like, you know, he said it's not far fetched. It's not. He says, I don't understand why the black Greek organizations are upset about it. Because it's true. And then, you know, one bruh said something. He said something to the fact of he was mad. And Pastor Storrs was fine. He said, how you mad? And he was like, if I'm not mistaken, one of your bros produced it. Because I think my understanding was it was produced by someone from Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Yeah. However, I saw bits and I watched it yesterday. And
leaks.
It messed me up.
I heard it was a lot of leaks.
What do you mean? Like it told a lot of stuff?
I heard it's a lot of. Now, Garf, you know Pastor Garf, Garf?
No, I don't think so.
He's originally from the West Side.
Okay.
He went with us. He's on South Side now. Mm-hmm. Now off 83rd, 87th
okay.
over East.
Mm-hmm.
And he's man, he's diehard. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, he's diehard. But he was telling us about it. And he's
watch it. You should. I think everybody.
Every Greek.
Especially those who have been, who took that journey pre-2000, needs to watch it. Because a lot of stuff has changed because of all the laws and everything. Yeah. But if you went pre-2000,
that'd be me.
You need to watch because I literally paused it because I got angry. Not necessarily because of what I saw. I got mad at myself
for going through it.
Oh my God!
Going through it.
The guy who's going through it, he's narrating the whole thing because he's like writing his thesis to graduate, and it's following the storyline of Frederick Douglass a little bit. But my God, it is a powerful piece.
He's talking about a lot of rituals, and he, from what I hear,
yeah.
He exposed a lot of you guys stuff.
He exposed it was based off. You could tell it was based. Okay, it was based off of Omega Psi Phi Incorporated. Yeah. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff, the mind games. I mean, all of that stuff was put out there. The violence.
Yeah.
The sometimes unnecessary violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
The strain it has on relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that stuff could apply to any organization.
You know, and I'm not trying to give individuals
an
opportunity to go look and seek, but there've been so many leaks.
For years. Especially with the advent of the internet being expensive as it is.
There's a website right now,
mm-hmm.
no matter if you're Mason or Eastern Star,
whatever,
Frat.
Uh-huh.
There's leaking your rituals, leaking everything. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be interested to see
mm-hmm.
how you guys going to respond.
Well, the response for the most part has been from people that I've spoken to since people that I've seen because I went and just I posted I followed the page
uh-huh.
and then all of the negative comments. And the bad part about it is. Let me say it this way. Point out something that was not authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You could be mad all day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Point out something that wasn't authentic.
I think, and I don't even think it was so much of the hazing because hazing been exposed many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's continually be exposed because you got guys who don't make it that get mad.
Right.
That talk about how far they went.
Of course,
and so
of course.
But some things that was leaked out from what I hear should not have been leaked out from a fellow brother.
Yeah.
And anytime you're exposing your brothers,
now here's the deal. What I don't know was this autobiographical? Meaning was this the story of someone who went all because here's the thing, when you watch it, when you get to the end, if you may understand why whoever wrote it wrote it.
Why you, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it okay. I'll say this and I'll move on before we get into something crazy. I'll say this and I'll move on. I understand the main character's feeling about the organization at the end.
Mm.
Because as one who pledged and went through that process, who felt like I went through it and then there was a disconnect.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that continuity of brotherhood.
Yeah.
Because it was like when it was time for them to step up and be my brothers, where were you at?
Yeah.
So it was like when I left school, mm-hmm. I came home angry.
Okay.
Because gotcha. It was like, what was the purpose? What gotcha. Was the where was the brotherhood at? And gotcha. It wasn't until I came home in 1989.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't until 1999 or 98, 99 that I reconnected
mm-hmm.
with some brothers here.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me that long. I mean, I'll go so far as to say because I refused to get branded. I actually had a tattoo. I refused to get branded because there's something slave-like in that mentality for me. Mm-hmm. So I went and got a tattoo. I paid thousands of dollars to have it removed.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Thousands.
Wow.
To have it removed. That's how mad I was about it.
Wow.
So yeah, Wow. It took me some getting over that. Wow. So, but I sat there watching that thing like, oh my God, I started having flashbacks.
Yolanda King.
Yes. What she
say? Interesting comment. I don't belong to a sorority, but I know several people who do. Can the rituals be considered? Now, here.
Idolatrous, is that
yeah.
what?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to say it, but.
Okay.
Honestly, we can't say, we're not going to say it is because in I can say for my frat,
mm-hmm.
That's the Bible is one of the most important books in our frat, in my fraternity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the top books.
Mm-hmm.
In our fraternity,
mm-hmm.
we believe in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in God, and when you get to masonry,
mm-hmm.
Certain levels
mm-hmm.
can get you to the point that getting you to making you compromise the Word of God. And I can speak on that behalf because I'm a Mason as well. And so when you get past being a master, then you got to beware.
Okay.
You definitely have to beware what you're reading, what you're partaking in. Understand this, Yolanda, and many others that may have questions. We're not part of a secret organization. We're part of an organization that have secrets.
Right.
And secrets that would give us the brotherhood and sisterhood. It's just like having a conversation. If you're two friends on the bus and you're having a deep conversation and someone comes sit next to you, you're not going to continue that conversation because you don't want them all in your business
mm-hmm.
unless you knew them, unless they're part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's what it's about with fraternities, Eastern Star and all that stuff. You know, we don't just disclose pertinent information because truth of the matter, it is considered for a brother and sisterhood. But truth of the matter.
Interesting. Before you kick, and you can please continue. We have a person who is interested in coming on the show. He is a brother, frat brother, Matt Omega Psi Phi, who would come on. He knows we have some inside information on the movie. And we may be able to get him in the studio on Friday.
You know, I believe, is it, that's your ship?
No.
Okay.
No.
I believe no. That'll be a good. I mean, you know,
we talk about it off air. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
because I don't want it to be one of them issues where I don't want to be out of line either.
Exactly. Most
yeah.
Definitely.
Regardless,
most definitely.
I mean,
you know, it, truth be told, I mean,
I just want you to watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch
please
it.
Please
actually,
watch
I'm
it.
Gonna watch it.
And I would suggest any of you all if you're just interested. In seeing it, it's about an hour and 40 minutes long, but it is worth your time. But I would say this. It has a skewed view. It does have a skewed view of the Greek life. It has a skewed view because it does not show the other positive sides. It kind of highlights this person being torn between. Why am I doing this? Because there's one point, I'll give this part away of the movie. There's one point where one of the brothers is online, one of the pledges is online, and he says, and one of the big brothers says this to him, why are you here? And he started going through this thing, brotherhood, commitment, and all this other kind of stuff. He was like, no, why are you here? And he was like, you can't even answer the question, but go get back in line. And then you see the different persons. Like, there's one guy, he was a little nerdy looking guy, and he was pledging, and he was like, man, I'm doing this so that when people see me, they don't see me like me. They see these letters first. I was like, wow.
You know,
everybody has their reason.
I was going to say,
everybody has their reason.
And you know, truth about it, that's the number one question.
Yeah.
That was asked.
Yeah. Why are you here?
Yeah. Or how you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, exactly. That's good.
I can still remember my spiel.
Yeah.
20 years ago, 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
Or when they asked me the question.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't want to get down with it because y'all might think I'm really arrogant, you know. But you know, truth be told, that's the number one reason a lot of people said the brotherhood, mm-hmm. sisterhood,
because that's the projection, and that's the canned answer.
Yeah,
that's the answer. That's like going to an interview. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Well, I see myself.
Yeah,
this, exactly. That, you know,
that's like, all right, when you date somebody,
right?
You know, for some reason, women. Women start to ask the same questions on a date than they did an interview. Out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
What do you see yourself in 5 years? Woman, am I interviewing for a Fortune 500 job? Man. But yeah, you know, it's for those who die hard, those who've been in this for a long time,
right?
Those who went undergrad.
Yeah.
And don't take nothing away from you grad people, but those who went undergrad. You know, it's, and to be honest, when you see it, and when I see it, I know I'm probably frustrated, angry.
Yeah. It's gonna walk you all the way back to the very first day.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now.
Lord have mercy.
The hell week. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to move on.
Y'all don't understand.
Yeah, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. So much to talk about. Anyway,
what's up with your boy?
Which boy? Who that?
DH. DT.
Oh, our president?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. The only thing women ask, because some men don't look at their future, only look at their now. Oh, I guess she's responding to your comment.
Dr. Denicia Williams, don't give me that deep answer. Women ask because women nosy. Don't give me that deep answer. I can give you a script that sounds good now that'll be expired the next week. I get what you're saying, but that's just a setup for us to run game on you.
Oh, God.
I'm serious. I know you're a therapist. We all, dating is like an interview. Nikki.
What?
Nikki.
You're getting the comments quicker than me over there. Okay.
Come back, Nikki. Nikki, stop. Dating is not like an interview.
Oh.
It's like a counseling session.
Oh, wow.
Y'all talk, we listen.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. We want to know.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I want to know.
Anyway.
Thank you, Michelle.
Here's the thing. So, you know, about 2 weeks ago, Trump made this accusation,
mm-hmm.
said that President Obama had the FBI or somebody tapping his phones and computers and stuff at Trump Tower.
Hey, Trump, Trump been stealing some of my words. Hey, me and Trump been hanging.
You mean I've been hanging out?
Oh, hold on now.
See, you open this door.
No, they dating with a purpose.
You open this door. You see?
Boy.
Now you got two options. You open the door, you can avoid it.
I can
keep it moving.
I can shut this down right now, but we're gonna talk about DT. we really gonna talk about DT.
So Trump said somebody was tapping his phones, and he claimed he had evidence.
Yeah.
So of course now here's where he got himself in trouble. The FBI has stated there was no open investigation onto Trump.
Right.
The CIA has said there was no open investigation on Trump.
Yeah.
Today, the congressman came out and said there's still no evidence that anybody was tapping Trump out.
Yeah.
Now, they said the only loophole into a way that his phones got tapped was if somebody in Trump Tower was talking to somebody they didn't have no business talking to, and their phone was tapped. So I'll give you an example.
Oh.
We ain't tapping Park's phone,
ah,
but we tapping Dana's.
So I'm selling
and
drugs.
I call you.
That's right.
Right, and I called you from my phone, and we talking about stuff, and you just and our conversation got caught up on the tapes. Because give you a little history lesson.
Was this his personal phone? Or it was
he's just saying phones in Trump Tower.
Oh.
During the campaign. Now, I'll give you a little background history. Everybody know the story of Watergate, Nixon? Y'all may or may not know. You've heard the term Watergate. The whole reason Nixon got exposed was not because because they were looking to catch him. They were kept trying to catch somebody else, and his voice got heard on the phone, which then expanded it to him. But they never were after Nixon in the first place. He got exposed because he got caught up on a different phone call. It's kind of like if you go back, remember The Wire? My favorite show in the world of history of all of HBO, The Wire. The whole thing about The Wire was phone taps. And they caught people based off of them talking to people, talking to other people. They went after you. Looking for one of the major scenes of The Wire was the guy was trying to catch politicians stealing money and found out the politician had dealings with the drug dealer, and that put them back on the drug dealer's trail.
Wow.
So again, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Uh-oh, here you go. See? You tried. I tried to leave it alone. Go
Benicia
ahead.
Trying to play love doctor.
Uh-huh.
Talking about we need to talk, me and Michelle Dixon. Lord have mercy.
What?
Yeah,
I missed that.
Tell the truth, Pastor.
Tell the truth, Pastor.
Then she said,
okay.
Y'all lie, we believe.
Okay. Oh.
And then she said, y'all need to talk.
Oh, what in the world? Okay, all right. I'm going to stay over here.
Chuck Hillary.
I'm going to stay over here out of that. Anyway, so Trump
what's the words that he used?
What, did somebody tap in the phone?
Yeah. He said,
why you're tapping? Yeah.
He didn't say why you're tapping. He said something else.
Oh, did he? I don't know.
I seen it. I don't.
It's a Cornelius Parks word.
It's a Cornelius Parks. I said Trump been hanging out with Parks. Lord have mercy. He butchered it. Like he just got. Michelle Dixon. She's a prophet.
You know what? See. Anyway, we're going to move on because I don't know what y'all got going on the side chats over here on Facebook Live.
I ain't got
nothing to do with none of that. I don't have my look, for lack of better words, hit him in his DM. direct message.
Inbox.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I was DM a little too.
She said bye. She going to dump me that quick. Lord,
why are we getting a commercial? Okay.
Trump is there's so many leaks coming out too, man. Trump is really getting exposed, and it's looking rough, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I said 2 years, but if he get through a year, I'd be surprised.
I would too.
I'm being so serious.
Mm-hmm.
This man got more leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Then a broken.
Well, so then his tax return came out.
Uh-oh.
So somebody supposedly leaked his 2005 tax return, and pretty much shows that he and it has ties that go back to this whole Russia thing from 2005.
Wow.
That was from Monday.
Okay.
You read those comments, that's from Monday. That's still up there from Monday.
Okay.
But yeah, so man, it's just it's. Oh, wait, no. Is this new? This might be new. Is this a new message? 12:47 today. Anonymous 9567. If you're still watching on Ustream, Anonymous 9567, please send us another quick message. Let me know this is from today because I want to make sure I didn't miss this from Monday because Monday was, man, it was, oh, my God, it was deep in here on Monday.
Really?
But, yeah, so hopefully if that's you, Anonymous 9567, send us another message just confirming this is a new message because I don't want to respond to something that was old because I just happened to turn around and see it. But thank you. Thank you if you are. I'll come back and check that for that message again. But, yeah, man, so he's so now they finally released his 2005 tax return, and it's got all these little tips and turns in it. And, yeah. I'd be shocked if he make it out of this year.
I'm serious.
If he makes it a full year.
I'm, I believe
before something major actually, before the real stuff actually hits.
I believe that the Republicans gonna say, okay, it's enough.
Well, they're already doing that now because this quote unquote his version of the healthcare thing.
Trump care.
Right, Trump care, because that's what they called it now. Oh, that was me on Monday. Okay, anonymous 9567. God bless you. Okay, you just got a different number today. Thank you. I hope everything is working out. This is a new message. Okay, all right, okay. Bless you. I hope everything is going well for you, man. I really do. We're going to continue to pray for you, ma'am or sir. Don't know which one you are. But thank you. Thank you for responding. I appreciate it.
Man, listen, I need Obamacare, man. Even though the premium going, hey, I'm a pastor, y'all, and I got a small church, and, you know, man, they can't afford to give me life insurance like that.
Medical.
Medical, yeah. Yeah. Slip of the tongue. Hey, they can't afford to get me medical insurance, so I'm one, and I don't have
what's that?
The card.
The medical card?
No, when you go to the grocery store.
The grocery store? What?
Link. Oh, I don't have a Link card, but I got the Obamacare insurance. Hey, Obamacare. Hey, I need it, y'all. I can't afford the Blue Cross and Blue Shield. That's kind of expensive when you're paying straight out of pocket.
Yeah.
It is.
It can be.
If you're getting a nice, whatever you want to call it, a nice,
I want to help you, but I don't know what to say.
Right. I want to say that premium. Well, I'm out of it today. A nice package. There you go. You got a nice package. A nice package. Yeah. Because, you know, they got this new thing with insurance now.
Yeah.
That they give you cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know on people, a person's job, and they got to spend a certain amount. And if they
The HSA. Yeah. HSA.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, I understand Obamacare premiums are going up, but truth of the matter is, it's helpful for me. It ain't no telling what Trump gonna come in and try to do.
Wow.
If this repeal come in, man, it's gonna be rough on us.
Wow.
It says I read something, and if it goes out, you got 25 million.
That's gonna be off. Gonna get kicked off.
That would get kicked off.
Yeah. Well, 14 will be kicked off in 2018.
2018.
14, and then the rest to get in 2020.
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
14 million will instantly be kicked off this new program. Instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yet Trump, in all of his statements, nobody will be kicked off. That's what he said in the campaign. That's what he said 2 days ago.
Now,
yeah,
it went from nobody to Act 25.
Well, the Congressional Budget Office, I think the CBO is what it's called or whatever, they released a thing. Said first of all, they said it's more expensive than the Affordable Care Act was.
Wow.
And it said, because he's taking away the mandate. So the mandate says that if you ain't got insurance, you got to have it.
You got to pay $500 on your taxes.
Right, when you're doing your taxes, if you don't. So he's taking that away. So then the question is, because that's the money that pays for this.
Yes.
So where is this? How are you going to pay for it?
Yeah.
And a lot of Republicans are pulling away from it because they have constituents, because it's also going to cut parts of Medicaid.
Yeah.
And they got seniors who are on Medicaid. You can't cut Medicaid.
And always remember this, y'all. This Obamacare Medicaid is not just for African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You got Caucasian. You got every ethnic group.
Yeah.
That have this resource.
Yeah.
And it's much needed for America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is one of the greatest things I believe with President Obama in office,
mm-hmm.
Because healthcare, man. Now he did say this. Trump said this. He's going to try to lower
mm-hmm.
the insurance, help medical insurance, still make it affordable that you can go and get privatized
mm-hmm.
insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know this. Privatized insurance is high, man. Even if you was working a small job, one of them jobs is like a mom and pop store.
Yeah, it's high.
It's high.
It is high.
Like here, when I was a general manager at Chicken and Waffle,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't allow a certain amount of people to work over 30 hours.
Because you would have had to provide insurance.
You had to provide insurance.
Oh, yeah. The company that I worked for, anybody who we had to keep them, at one point it was 39 hours to keep them underneath, 35,
right.
under 35. And then the law changed, and then it became 30.
30.
So and 30. And that was the, and that was the so that the company would then, because then the insurance companies or the government would classify you as a full-time employee.
Yeah.
And now we have to provide insurance.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then that'll make the employer go under.
In some cases it will, because I know for a fact the company that I used to work for, I didn't pay anything out of pocket for my insurance. Like, oh, you know, when you get your check, it says, you know, insurance, this much, what's your insurance? They paid for all of my insurance.
Wow.
So, and I knew for a fact it was $8,000 a year.
Wow.
So when you know, wow. so when they sold you your package about your salary, they was like, okay, if you making, let's just say, if you making $70,000,
right,
they said, well, no, you're making 78.
Right.
And then if you marry and you bring somebody else on, they say that's 16,000. So
that's
we add that 16,000 to the 70 that you making, bro, you make $86,000 and don't have no kids. That's another 8,000. So you see what I'm saying? So they, and they're feeding into this. So that there's a lot of. That's a lot of money
they send,
being paid out.
Nikki
What's that?
Dillon says CTA is the same way for part-timers now.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, though, man. It's, man, you know, insurance, I think there's two type of workshops needs to be done and talked about in the city, medical and life insurance. I'm going to bring someone.
Definitely life insurance.
I'm going to bring a certified insurance agent to my church because we have so many people that don't have insurance, man. Yeah. So many people have don't have insurance. I mean, people.
Like, what was that?
we need life insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
I told, man, listen, one thing I know. If I die right now,
mm-hmm,
I got insurance. My mama got it on me. And I know a whole bunch of other folks that thought I was going
to
die a long time ago.
You need
probably
to stop
still
paying
that insurance.
Still paying that premium.
Man, they pray because they took out a big one. Hey, they took out a big one. Yeah. Matter of fact,
to
they took out one bigger on me than they did for themselves.
You need to stop.
Because they didn't think I was never would have made it. They never thought I was going to make it for real.
You need to stop.
Man, just make sure y'all give my kids something. Don't be stingy. Don't be selfish.
We're about to jump into this article. We're going to get this article. We got about a half hour left for the show. We're going to get this article. It's full time. If you haven't hit the share button, please do so. Hit the share button now. We're about to talk about what to do when you make a ministry mistake. What to do when you make a ministry mistake. That's going to be today's topic of conversation. It's going to be good. Let me make sure we have that. Yeah. So what to do when we make a ministry mistake? We're going to take a real quick break. Ain't going to be long at all. When we come back, we're going to jump right to the conversation. We'll be right back, y'all. DTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen. We are back. We are back. So look, y'all, we got this really good article today, right? What to do when you make a ministry mistake? What to do when you make a ministry mistake? This is going to be good. If you haven't already, like I said, hit the share button. We're going to share this with you all right now. What to do when you make a ministry mistake? This is what the writer says. The writer says, I struggle with mistakes. It's not that I fear mistakes. He says, on the leadership risk tolerance scale, I lean towards taking more risk. He says, messes, mistakes, and outright failures come with taking regular calculated risk. He says, my struggle is not the fear of making a mistake. My struggle is the responsibility of owning the mistake.
Hmm.
My desire to be right supersedes my desire to take risks. In other words, he says, I'm fine with admitting failure so long as I don't have to deal with the problems it can create. So my attitude ends up being something like, it didn't work. Can we just move on now? In the zero-sum game of commodities trading or in the fast-paced race of venture capital or venture capitalism, such an attitude might be beneficial, maybe. He says, in the church, however, you're being selfish when you have this attitude. He says, your mistakes, my mistakes, involve people, time, resources, and energy. He says, time, resource, energy report into whatever endeavor failed. The church placed hope into something that you said would work. If a ministry initiative failed because of your leadership, then you need to own it. Owning a ministry mistake is more than simply admitting it happened. even if there was no malice on your part, even if your heart was completely pure in motive, as a leader, you must take steps to own whatever ministry mistakes occurred. The four steps below will help. Let's first talk about this. A lot of times, I'm sure you've been there, other pastors, ministry leaders have been there, you had an idea, you had a thought, you put this thing out there, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And people bought into it.
Yeah.
And then it didn't work, and then the question comes, how do you respond to the failure?
Well, number one, get up and apologize.
Okay.
Apologize here, before you can apologize,
okay,
assess what didn't go right.
Exactly. See, that's good. That's good.
Because
that's good. That's good.
The question is, how do we measure success?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because even if we're working on a project,
mm-hmm,
and let's say we have a target goal of $30,000,
okay,
and we only reach $20,000,
mm-hmm,
does it mean the entire campaign failed?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that we messed up somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that
wow,
something went wrong?
Uh-huh.
You know, just because we didn't reach the 30,000 mark.
Mm-hmm.
So you, number one, got to assess the whole project in itself and to go back and retract and see, where did we slack?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Where did we go wrong? Because, mm-hmm, honestly, one of the biggest problems in the church is if we don't hit the target goal, we think it's automatically a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
then, like, all right, let's take Sunday. All right.
Oh, go
let's
ahead.
Take Sunday.
Go ahead.
So in my mind, I thought Pastor Meeks was going to bring a full house.
Okay.
And
I know where you're going.
And
I know
not
where you're
only
going.
Did I think it, other people
thought it.
Thought it.
Well, I assumed it.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I kind of assumed it.
There's several things I knew for a fact he was going to do.
Yeah.
And everything I thought he was going to do, he didn't do.
Wow.
And so when I look at it overall, I ask myself, because I even, and let's be real, I even looked at the, about the report.
Uh-huh.
You know, because this anniversary time, and what are the big, inklings of doing anniversaries, raising capital.
Yeah.
And so when I looked at the report, it was a complete failure.
Wow.
A complete failure. And I'm being so real with you. In that area, it was a complete, I mean, it was so bad that I'm embarrassed to even go back to the church and tell the church what we raised as a church for our 60th year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to go back and ask myself, okay, wasn't a success?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it? So the question is, how do we measure,
mm-hmm,
success?
Mm-hmm.
Are we measuring it on finances? Are we measuring it on spiritual emphasis? Or are we measuring it on growth,
mm-hmm,
whether individuals join, mm-hmm, or not? But when I looked at the overall picture,
mm-hmm,
I said, wow, the choir sang better than I ever heard them sing before.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The members, even though I missed, it was some key members not there,
mm-hmm,
but I had majority, 80% of my members in service.
Mm-hmm.
So if nobody was there at their party,
mm-hmm,
I could honestly say First Bethel was at their party.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
So what I thought was a disaster,
mm-hmm,
because I looked at one entity,
mm-hmm,
really turned around and it was a great event.
Mm-hmm.
Because even that, I heard some people testimony say, and just to have him in his presence.
Yeah.
In there. So I think the number one thing is to assess,
mm-hmm,
and then make sure it's something that you need to apologize for,
mm-hmm,
because some things we apologize for may not need no explanation.
Gotcha.
Because that's, if you're looking at it,
mm-hmm,
I mean, now you teach on success, you teach on, because here, truth of the matter, there's a difference between a vision and an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major difference. Now, I done seen some things just turn out to be a complete bust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no God, no anointing, nobody there.
Yeah.
And then first thing people say is, well, the Bible said when there's two or three gathered in my name, he'll be a God in the midst. Stop, mm-hmm, that.
Okay.
I mean, here, if you didn't invite nobody to your party,
yeah,
nobody's going to come to your party.
That's good.
Just because you put out flyers or, mm-hmm, put a post out there, you need to give people a personal invitation.
Mm-hmm.
here we live in a day and age that people feel if you put it on Facebook, well, you still didn't invite me. I put it on Facebook, no, but I
want
it personal.
Yeah, we've gotten that social media has kind of made it very impersonal. So look, we're gonna jump right into this. Again, this is gonna be good. What to do when you make a ministry mistake? What to do when you make a ministry mistake? Let me make sure I didn't miss anybody's comments on here. Let me see. Let's see here. Tiki Loving God says, first step would be to acknowledge your mistake. Next step would be to work on correcting it. Last step is to learn from your mistake. We're all human. Good topic. I love it. Okay, good. We're going to go. Number one says what, sir?
Apologize without an excuse.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, but wrong. I'm sorry if wrong. I'm sorry, however, wrong. These statements aren't apologies. They are political posturing.
Mm.
When you make a mistake, the first step to owning it is simply saying, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, only address the group affected. If your mistake involves three people, then apologize to them, not the whole church. Conversely, if your mistake affected the whole church, don't just apologize to the three people.
Yeah.
Here, if you are like, people don't know your topics.
Okay.
They don't know
right.
What the problem. I mean,
right.
Right here. If people didn't see a sign like a gold mesh, they don't know what
they don't know if you
what's
don't
your
know if,
internal goal.
Right.
So don't get in your pulpit talking about something to the masses
that
where only the minor
three people.
Know.
Right.
That's what hurt us.
Yeah.
It brings up red flags to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come back in there and praise God like you'd hit that target,
mm-hmm.
like everything is going well. And that's good. I like this because I've seen so many people, and I made the mistake too, I started apologizing for people not coming to church.
Wow. I this is good because we could have had, okay, so we got Men's Day coming up this Sunday.
Okay.
Right? So it's all day Sunday. If you got time, come by the afternoon.
Okay.
You got to preach in one. But
no, I'm good.
Make it to the afternoon service.
Yeah.
It's a little concert, men singing. Should
okay.
be quite funny or at least interesting. So, y'all pray for me. So last year, our Men's Day has always historically been on the third Sunday of March.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
I mean, in the 40, soon to be 45 year history of the church, third Sunday.
Okay.
Last year, it got pushed to, it was either second Sunday or fourth Sunday.
Okay.
Because our pastor had an outing that he accepted to preach.
Okay.
So on that third Sunday, we didn't have Men's Day.
Okay.
So and because our Men's Day has been historically on the third Sunday, that Saturday we've always had our prayer breakfast.
Mm.
The Men's Day prayer breakfast has historically always been huge.
Mm.
I mean, that whole downstairs area is packed.
Mm.
Myself and a couple of people, like last year, I got my mom and Sister McCurtis. We handled it, and Deacon Rice. We handled the kitchen. We ran that kitchen, and we were good. So this past year we did it because everything was thrown off. Because here's the deal. If you know you've been coming to Kingdom every third Sunday, you don't need no invitation.
You don't need one.
So because it was on a different Sunday, the folk who normally just knew didn't show up.
Wow.
Men's Day itself, according to the chairman of Men's Day and all people, was an abject failure.
Wow.
Because stuff got changed around.
Yeah.
Now, here is the deal. This would have been one of those times where an apology would have been great. To say, you know
great.
What? I probably should have.
Definitely.
You all should have kept Men's Day.
Yeah.
Because guess what? It's not always necessary that the pastor be here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I got asked to preach.
That's right.
I'm gonna go preach.
That's right.
Y'all do Men's Day.
That's right.
And I'll wait to hear the good report.
That's right. That's good.
You know what I'm saying? So I love this because like I like what he said. If it affects the whole church, then you stand there and apologize.
That's good.
You know, because I'm not one for fronting people off. I think if you and somebody got into it, y'all ain't got to stand in front of the church and have no whole.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Let's go. So we're talking about. What to do when you make a ministry mistake. Number two, go for it.
I like this the first term it said, briefly.
briefly.
Explain why. Most people in the church understand leaders make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You likely won't get any sympathy. Such is the nature of leadership. But if you explain yourself, then people will understand. After apologizing, explain your actions, but don't camp there. When you explain too much, you sound and likely are defensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so good.
That over-explaining. You know,
I think we put our foot in our mouth when we try to over-explain it, trying to win. Listen, now this is when that nonchalant or arrogant attitude come in. Just, I messed up. Let's move on. Explain what happened briefly. Don't get into detail, and let's move forward. Now, I would suggest this in your explaining. When you explain something and you're acknowledging your mess up, now come back, but this is how we can recover.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how we can get back on track. Come with a B plan. If your A plan didn't work, come with a B plan while you still have the attentiveness of the people. Don't sit back and say, okay, we messed up and back to the drawing board. You have to go back to the drawing board before you even come back out to apologize.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as a successful leader, we know during the campaign how the campaign is going.
Yeah, you see it.
You see it.
You see it, yeah.
I mean, I know the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight, but reality is reality. You see, if we got a month to raise $100,000, and then week three we only got $5,000.
Take it even to another level. Use a sports analogy. If y'all practice has been garbage,
there you go.
Y'all fighting or we keep it in church. Good. If y'all fighting in choir rehearsal,
that's good.
Y'all arguing in choir rehearsal.
That's
y'all ain't no. And there's no unity in choir rehearsal. That's what you good. Think Sunday gonna be like?
That's good. That's good.
I mean, it's all there.
That's good.
You can't do
that's
that.
Real good.
You just can't. Real quick, man, and I kind of let it slip. Let me make sure I speak to these people in Facebook because I don't even think I did that. Tanya Williams, God bless you. Danny Hazel Carpenter, bless you. Sherry Westmoreland, Michelle Dixon, Leslie Kelly. Let me see because you probably see some names I don't. Yolanda King, Dr. Tanisha Williams, Nikki Dillard, Marissa Williams. Let's see here. Who else did I miss in here? Tiki Loving God, bless you. Felicia Martin, God bless you. There may be some more in there, but I just want to make sure I didn't miss y'all. I know some of y'all been in and out.
Taking the lemons off that's, radio.
That, that's me over here on this side. Bless you too. Oh, God. Wait a minute. Felicia Martin said, that's the theology for the Bulls, praying for the Bulls. Really?
No, the theology for the Bulls is... They straight bull.
Good. That's good.
That's the theology of the bulls.
Let's keep going. What to do when you make ministry mistakes? Number three. Go for it.
Here it is. I hit on it.
Yep.
Offer a corrective path forward.
Yeah.
Explaining why a mistake occurred is a backwards perspective.
Mm-hmm.
This step is a forward perspective. Mm-hmm. Tell the affected group the safeguards you put in place to help prevent future similar mistakes.
Yeah,
that's you have to come back with a plan. Conflict resolution is one of the hardest skills that most churches have because we dwell in conflict, but we don't come back with a solution on how not to get back to where we was at. Understand this, the church now, sorry to say this, but it seemed like the church is the only place of business that cannot afford to fail.
Oh, wow.
Or make mistakes.
Wow.
Everywhere else, you can make mistakes and you can recover, make mistakes and people won't leave. I mean, here, I've seen Wall Street, Dow Jones, Jones, all that stuff get hit down, but it don't stop people from making investments.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We've seen them plunge.
That's true.
To the negative.
That's true.
But it does not stop people from making investments.
That's true.
Why is it the church is the only place that we stop making investments when things are not going the way that we want it to go?
Yeah. And that's very true. I remember this so well. A good friend of mine, and you know him too, Pastor Keith Gordon.
Yeah.
Over at Love of Christ, he was talking about, you know, buying a building because right now they still have their services in a school. And he was saying he turned it over to his congregation. He gave them the pros and cons of owning a building and the overhead. And he said this, you know how some of us can be. When we get mad, we stop giving. He said, here's the bad part about that. When you get mad, he said, you can get mad at ComEd, but guess what? You still got to write that check.
That's right.
You get mad at Comcast if you want to, you still going to write that check.
That's right.
Whoever, people, guys, whoever you got, you get mad all day long, If you won't go, if you still now again, nobody's saying, because I know some people are gonna say, well, the church shouldn't, you know. I know what y'all gonna say about this, about what you're saying, Pastor. You're gonna pray for me because I ain't tithing. No, that's not what we're saying. But what I'm saying is, if something does not go your way into church, that does not mean you renege on your commitment to God.
There you go.
Because your commitment to giving was not to the church.
Wow.
It was to God.
Wow.
You're staying in covenant with God. So you're going to break your covenant with God because you're mad at the preacher.
Wow.
Or you're going to break your covenant with God because you're mad at the first lady. You're mad at the music director.
Man, you're hitting something.
Come on.
I mentioned something Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my members have been MIA since the anniversary is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that because we made an assessment,
mm-hmm.
and we asked the members,
mm-hmm.
each member sell 5 banquet tickets. And then
mm-hmm.
for the anniversary, just $60. Mm-hmm. So that's $185. But this has been going on
mm-hmm.
all last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had ample amount of time to get this going together. We've been meeting as a team.
Yeah.
But then I believe because of many not willing to step up for their obligation, financial obligation,
mm-hmm.
they just said, forget it. I'll just come back after the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told the members, call up your fellow sisters and brothers. Let them know, even though there's assessment, don't get afraid if you don't have it. Your presence is sufficient as well.
Right.
You know, just come and party with your church family.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to celebrate together.
Mm-hmm.
This is a milestone for our ministry, for Church First Bethel,
mm-hmm.
60 years. And I've seen so many people pull away because of their obligations. Here, if you don't allow nothing to pull you away from doing what you need to do in God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. And, you know, being a leader is rough, period.
Mm-hmm.
Then pastoring African-American church or leading African-Americans is, you know, and I know we hear that often, but it's reality.
Yeah.
There's no shade on our people, but
right.
we are a difficult type of people to work with. I mean, truth of the matter, we are the biggest complainers. We are the biggest. I mean, we got so much that comes with us. That, I mean, you can be a great skill set individual,
yeah.
but then you got some other stuff that
mm-hmm.
will come out.
We carry a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
Let's just be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
We come with a lot of baggage. Some of us come with a lot of personal baggage. Some
yeah.
of us come with old church hurt baggage.
Yeah.
We just carry a lot of baggage. And then we come and then we expect people to know what's in our bag.
And you know something else?
Uh-huh.
We a type of group of people that if somebody made us mad, we're going to try to hit you where it hurts.
Oh, we can be, and I heard a comedian say this once about the difference between performing in front of a white crowd and a black crowd.
Uh-huh.
He said, our people can be some of the most fickle people
yeah.
in the world. They can
yeah.
love you today, and
yeah.
you come back tomorrow,
yeah.
and you ain't funny.
Man, man, Garrett Garf just said this, he said, man, one of the hardest things about pastoring
mm-hmm.
is those who love you openly,
mm-hmm.
9 times 10 are the ones who hate you privately.
Wow. Or have an issue with you.
Or have an issue
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
said, but he got some members that openly challenge him all the time,
mm-hmm.
but privately
love him. Absolutely.
Himself.
Absolutely. And you have those, and you know what? I would rather you. I would prefer the latter.
Yeah.
I would rather you.
Yeah.
You challenge me publicly,
yeah.
and but be in my corner privately.
Yeah.
All yeah, I would
yeah.
because
that's
that keeps because that keeps a balance.
It keeps a balance.
It keeps a balance because because here's the deal. Nobody needs you know cheerleaders are great.
Yeah,
don't need a whole lot of them.
You don't.
You only need one or two.
Yeah.
Don't need a whole lot of cheerleaders.
That's it.
Because see, if everybody is cheering for you, then nobody's able to recognize when you need some correction.
Hey, our 0-17 team got cheerleaders.
Exactly. And they cheer every week.
Cheer every week.
Every week.
Versus a 17-0 team has cheerleaders.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are you cheering for?
What
are you cheering for? That's good. Let's get this last one. Last one. We're talking about what to do when you make ministry mistakes. Here's the last one. Number 4 says this. Don't dwell on it. Don't look back. Move down the corrective path and don't wallow in the past. Some may even bring up past mistakes. Once you own the mistake, However, it's time to move on from it. When someone mentions the previous mistake, a simple thank you is all you need to say. Oh, my God. Let me say this. We have a we have a really bad habit, especially in the church, of trying to dwell on past mistakes. Now, there's two sides to this. The reason most people dwell on it is because it was never addressed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people continually go back to the past to grab stuff because it was never addressed.
Mm.
So when you let things just go and go, and you might think it was resolved in your brain, because in our brain we going, y'all should be, nah, that was 3 years ago. Y'all get over that.
Mm-hmm.
That was 7 years ago. You've been got over that by now. But if you and that person have never sat down and addressed said issue, or you and this congregation, or you and whoever, this organization, whatever it is you're with, and you all have never sat down and put these cards on the table. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine being in playing the game of spades, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing the game of spades. Now, there's only 13 books,
mm-hmm.
right? Could you imagine you got seven, you and your partner say, y'all, we got seven.
Mm-hmm.
The other team say, y'all got seven.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all play the both of y'all, both get three,
mm-hmm.
and then y'all quit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's unresolved.
That's unresolved.
Because I never knew what was in your hand.
Knew.
We never put the cards
That's
on the table,
good.
So we never really knew what happened.
That's good.
It's like that show that says to be continued, you got to wait till next week.
Wait till next week.
But here is the problem. Some of us been waiting till next year.
That's true.
Or the 3 years or 4 years, it still says to be continued.
Now, I'm going to say this.
Come on.
Because this can be a catch-20 here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to move forward
when
you didn't resolve
was
behind.
Oh, my. That's good.
Don't try to be a coward.
That's good.
And try to take off and leave.
That's good.
An open can behind.
That's good.
We as people, if we look in our life, we got so many open cans. We take a can, lid off one. And we got it open and didn't even take everything out.
You must know my friend Reggie.
Wow.
See, I'm doing one of your numbers now. I had a buddy back in the day. We used to have parties.
Uh-huh.
And he said house parties back in the day. And Reggie was one who never had. You said, Reggie, we need to go get something, you know, for the party. Reggie got $2. Here you go, man. I got $2. Every time he got $2, but then when we bring back said drinks, he pop a beer,
mm-hmm.
take a sip, mm-hmm. party over. You find all these over half full cans
wow.
of beer in the windowsill,
wow.
all in the basement
and
where we
Reggie.
Had this party. At. We know who they was.
It was Reggie.
Cause he quick to go, and cause he wants you to see him opening. Cause I'm partying,
right.
But I ain't drinking nothing.
He ain't drinking nothing.
But so, you constantly got to, you waste it.
And then if
yeah.
you combine all of, he only drank one can.
If that. But you, like you said, you leave all these unfinished business
yeah.
all over the place.
And that's,
yes.
Most churches.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
They got so much unfinished business.
Yeah.
That you have to learn to attack some of the things. I'll never forget, I was having a meeting with Deacon and we had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
At maybe a year after we had issues, we went back to the table
mm-hmm.
talking about some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought back up, well, you know, I still have problems.
Wow.
But we talked. And me personally, who I am,
mm-hmm.
I ignored the hell out of him. I wasn't going to give in.
Oh, God.
I wasn't going to feed into that.
Okay.
I just ignored him.
Okay.
And I kept it moving.
Okay.
But if you got an issue with something that you already said we resolved, that blood is not on my hand.
Wow. That's good. So let's read the last part, and then I want to get to this email, because the email has a question about something we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
I don't know how we missed the email. It says, the writer says this, obviously mistakes come in varying degrees. Taking a big risk with 25% of the church budget is completely different than trying something small with a few people. Making the same mistake five times is different than making a mistake once. The degree to which you apologize, explain why, and offer corrective path is proportional to the size and frequency of the mistake. Don't be afraid to take risks. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. It will happen. You just need to own it as a church leader. That's good. That's good. So that was the article. It was good information. I want to go back to, I guess we were talking about the Greek Life.
Okay.
One of our listeners emailed the show and said this email. Where did it go? Two emails. First, mm-hmm. she said, "Would that be the same for the Masons?" I'm referring to secrets.
Yeah.
Then she says, "If the Masons refer to the Bible as a spiritual source, why are there so many secrets?"
Well, number one, and that's a great question. Number one, there's no secrets in the Bible.
Right.
Now, if you want to go to the Masons and ask them questions about the Bible, that's one thing. But a true Mason or a true person that's in a frat or sorority should be able to give you in-depth information
mm-hmm.
about their organization without releasing some cold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the cold stuff is just pretty much just the literature. It's the history.
The super secret handshake.
Handshakes. The handshakes is to identify brother,
right.
brother, sister, sister.
Right.
And so, I understand one of the biggest, and I'm going to say this, biggest myths in the world
mm-hmm.
is that Masonry is a secret organization. That's a myth. Mm-hmm. It's an organization that has secrets. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to say this. Once you get to higher different levels,
mm-hmm.
it does, and I'm saying this, it does pull you away from the Bible.
Yeah.
It does pull you away from compromising what you stand for,
yep.
what you believe in, and
yep.
all that stuff. It does.
Uh-huh.
And that's why most people, such as I,
uh-huh.
we stop at a certain level, certain degree,
uh-huh.
that we don't even want to partake in the other darkness of it.
Wow.
And I'm being totally honest with you. There are some levels of it. I have a book that, man, it's some darkness that when you get deep into it, and to be honest with you, I've been a brother for 18 years, I believe.
Part of the Masonic Order.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, I'm not active. I'm
okay.
not active at
okay.
all.
Okay.
At all.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been active in a long time.
Yeah.
If I see a brother, I will greet each other, and that's it. You
right.
know, if I haven't even went to a meeting in years. Picnic, none of that stuff. Seriously,
in years, uh-huh.
in many years. So I am one by right,
uh-huh.
but active no.
Wow.
And to be honest with you, if I known some of the things I know now,
you probably wouldn't have.
I definitely wouldn't have went that route.
Wow.
And I wouldn't say I wouldn't went KSI. Right. I was born to be a Kappa. I came out of my mother's womb.
Uh huh.
Being a Kappa.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can get deep with that.
I hear you.
But that's a great question.
It is. Well, it was loaded. We have to get full disclosure.
Yeah.
Her husband is a Mason.
Okay.
33rd degree.
He the man.
Most grand.
Oh, he the man.
Something.
Oh, yeah,
instructor.
He the man.
Something.
Yeah, he the
yeah,
man.
All that.
He the
yeah.
man.
I was.
Now, I'm going to say this. Now, it's
yeah.
good you say. Keep in mind, there are some Christian lodges.
Yeah, there are.
That keep you aligned up. And then you got...
the brother that preached there on Sunday was from one of the lodges.
Okay, you got Free and Accepted. You got Ancient. Certain...
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say all of it, but...
There are some ritualistic things in Masonry.
Yeah.
That is completely...
Yeah.
Way off from Greek.
Oh yeah. Oh
and
definitely.
I'll say this too to answer the earlier question. We do some things. There were some things that were done based off of that particular organization.
Uh huh.
Had nothing to do with anything idolizing anything.
Right.
We weren't praying to any god or anything like that. We weren't idolizing any particular figure. So that did not happen. In Masonry though, there is a lot of hidden things that because of the line they walk, some would say they fall on either side.
Yeah.
So I get where you say the thing about the darkness because of the line they walk. Now they would turn around and tell you that's because you don't understand.
Yeah.
That's what and telling me I don't understand is your way of not answering my question, and it just leads to more questions.
Yeah. See, one of the two key terms that I can openly talk about is light. You come from darkness into light.
Right.
And I'm just a firm believer. If you come into darkness, coming from darkness into light,
right.
you don't need to go back to darkness.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And so if